This very special bonus episode of I Doubt It with Dollamore is brought to you by our generous listener supporters on Patreon and PayPal. If you appreciate what we do and would like to join them, go to dollamore.com/PayPal or dollamore.com/Patreon.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It with Dollamore.
All right, welcome to the show. Yet another bonus episode of your favorite listener-supported, listener-produced I Doubt It with Dollamore. I am he, Jesse Dollamore. And sitting across from me, the lovely, the talented, the scholarly, the bakery-obsessed, my lovely co-host, Brittany Page.
It's just that a famous bakery is coming to the area, and
I think
very
you mean
excited.
A famous baker. Because the bakery just opened. It's not fucking famous yet.
Well, no, there's other locations in New York and London.
Oh.
I think that those are the only other locations, and now it's coming to L.A.
And you are a bakery snob? Is that a thing?
Well, I enjoy life. And because
one just goes hand in hand.
Yeah, because I enjoy life, I like to have a sweet treat every now
and then.
So
are you saying that because I'm not a giant, you know, I don't get aroused over bakeries, that I'm not one who enjoys life?
Yeah, I think you hate life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
this is very
telling. You sound like a real unhappy guy.
I'm very unhappy.
Yeah.
Speaking of unhappy.
What?
Joining us, because you can't hide it on a podcast because you got show notes, Stephen Matthews is with us.
Hi, how's it going? I am really happy to be... Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here, not unhappy to be here. So definitely going to have a good time.
Stephen Matthews is a gentleman who I became acquainted with first on the YouTubes.
Yes.
It was shortly after I started... rebranding my content on YouTube for Occupy Democrats, that's probably how you learned of me. You weren't a regular Jesse Dollamore subscriber until you saw my dumb mug attached to some Occupy videos.
I actually, the first time I remember seeing a video of yours was when you were talking about Josh Feuerstein.
Oh!
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, so
that
made me a fan. I loved seeing videos responding to him.
I think you may have mentioned that in that first video. So anyway, Here's the deal. Steven has done a couple of different rebuttal videos.
Takedown.
Definitely. Definitely takedown videos.
Some takedown videos of yours, truly. And he did it in the right way. It wasn't like the one YouTube channel and Facebook page that we don't mention on the show because I don't give them publicity because they're dicks. He didn't do it in a troll dick way. He did it in a aggressive.
Yes.
Yet, yes. I think, metered and ways that, you know, when people criticize and I take some criticisms under advisement, that would be the kind of... I don't remember specifically because this was slightly over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
After the Trump election.
Yes, yes, yes.
I did. I enjoyed it. I appreciated it. So first, before we do anything, all of that's going to be in the show notes, but go follow Stephen Matthews on the Twitter. His Twitter is at SMatthewsTFI, as in the Focus Initiative. And then I think it's just Stephen Matthews TFI on the YouTube. So go subscribe. Give a guy who's doing it right some support. I think that would be awesome. So, I want to know about you, though, Stephen. Are you a Southern California fella?
No, I've been here about the last 8 years, but I grew up in Arizona and Colorado. A couple of different places. You know, politically, Arizona is very conservative, obviously. Colorado is a bit more liberal.
More liberal now. It used to be a pretty solid swing state. It's kind of switched. Now it's definitely blue.
Okay. I'd actually have to look it up for when I first moved there. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But when I hit about 16, I moved to Colorado. And that was, well, how do I put this? I moved in with a parent that gave me a little bit more freedom as far as partying and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Colorado was an amazing experience.
Good times.
Oh, good times. I dropped out of high school a couple of times and had to go back for my degree later on, or not degree, diploma. Mm-hmm. And that was through a Job Corps later on in Utah, of all places. I was actually on an old, I think it was an old either air base or Navy base in Utah when September 11th happened. People talk about, well, where were you? And I was around a bunch of kids that were all somehow convinced that they were next, you know, because they were on an air base in the middle of nowhere in Utah.
Was it one of the decommissioned bases during the Clinton administration? Because they were decommissioning bases across the world, but it wasn't an active military base.
No, it was a Job Corps facility was the old base. We were actually, when I first got there, some of the old buildings were our dorm rooms from the base. And they ended up rebuilding the dorm since then and everything. But it was a fun experience. Did security there, of all things.
Wow.
Didn't get a job in security when I got out. I bummed around for several years, kept trying to get into school, didn't really take. Then joined the National Guard. So I was a part of the National Guard down in Arizona for a couple of years. I didn't do anything. I drove trucks back and forth across the state, training missions and just moving equipment. Very boring.
In the National Guard. Yeah, yeah.
Very, very boring stuff. But
how long were you in?
Two years. It was basically something happened and I tried to, what's the terminology? You try to a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You know what that entails. And I was out of the military at that point. So that was the end of that, which was a bummer because if I had a choice, I wish I had just gone active duty. That's a whole lot different. And then I would have had a lot more structure. And I certainly wouldn't have had to deal with the problems that I dealt with when I was part-time civilian. So
I think for someone who... and I don't know what your background was, but I know a lot of guys who were in boot camp with me who were reservists. And I, in the back of my head, even as a kid, then I was just like, there's no fucking way this guy's going to hack it. He's going to go back to being a civilian. And that allure is just, it's too much. I mean, you want to be pushed around and told what to fucking do. But only sometimes. That would be a bummer. You got to be fully immersed. Like learning a language or something. You got to be in it all the way so you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that would have been the difference right there, at least in that scenario.
Were you always politically interested? And
no.
Oh. Cuz you're not a dumb guy. You're someone I think has a real handle on several different concepts, one being international relations that a lot of people they're not able to really grasp. I don't know that we agree on everything.
Yeah.
But I could see from the videos that I've watched of yours that you've got enough of an understanding that you can have a functional thought in your fucking head, which is you're way ahead of the game for someone who doesn't have formal training or have worked in government. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Just a lot of reading, basically. I can't put it any other way. The truth is that my personality has always been kind of counter toward, I'm more of a loner and whatnot, I suppose is a good way to put it. But trying to put myself out there, especially doing YouTube videos and stuff like that, has definitely helped me, desire to learn more.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if I'm going to be putting my voice out there, I at least want to, be right once in a while, have those right thoughts.
It is the one change you've made. I don't know how recently it's been, but you used to do with like the little cartoon guy.
Yeah.
And you would do that voiceover thing. And I was just like, you're never really going to build a brand. I guess that one atheist dick.
It's
Devin
always,
Tracy. He it, does it.
I'm always suspect of people that do that, though. I don't know. There's something that rubs me the wrong way. Yeah. It's better to see the person because you are actually investing yourself in it. And I don't know. It's hard to take a cartoon seriously.
No,
you don't do that anymore.
For the most part, no. Yeah, yeah. What I actually did was I got rid of the little cartoon guy because it was actually Well, I don't actually mind saying it here. I borrowed it and artistically changed it from a Family Guy episode. Hmm. Ironically enough, it's the one where they go to Russia, but we can worry about that later. You know, I saw something that happened to another YouTuber, a guy named Baring. He was using a little icon that he had gotten from Adventure Island, some kid's TV show. And they reported him, and he lost his channel for a couple of days. But he got lucky because he contacted the company right away and said, you know, I screwed up. I owe you some money, obviously, so let's work this out. And the company was just like, dude, just change the videos and we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
He got a copyright strike. Probably.
Well, no, I actually the company contacted. Oh no, they copyright struck him. Yeah. But the company themselves actually contacted him too. And So I think, I don't know, it was, I don't remember if it was through Twitter or something on one of his videos or something.
So you didn't think that Seth MacFarlane would give you a fair shake, is what you're saying?
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not. So I think he's a great guy.
He'd come at you.
So, I think he's a great guy though. Shout out to the Orville. That's a great show, by the way.
I landed up on one of those BuzzFeed lists after he hosted the Oscars. The list was something about these people want to harm Seth MacFarlane because of his Oscar hosting. Because I tweeted that I hope he dies of a painful flesh-eating bacteria or something like that.
You did?
Yeah, somebody forwarded me the article. That was years ago before we even started the podcast.
Why were you feeling so hostile?
Well, I was just being funny, guy, because it was terrible. I didn't like it.
Oh,
it's hyperbole. I don't really want him to die. I like Seth MacFarlane. I think he's a talented guy.
Just not a fan of the singing.
Just the whole performance. If you watched him host the Oscars, was, I don't know, fucking.
Oh, he hams it up. I don't remember.
It's too much for me, man. Too much for me. So here we are.
Yeah.
So here we are. I think there are some things that we do agree on.
Oh, I'm sure a lot.
Occasionally,
I'm sure a lot. Yeah.
But you know, I think it's fun. It's more fun to spar.
Oh yeah, bring it on, please.
So no. I just mean like when like they're on Twitter sometimes. Sometimes I don't have time.
Of course, yeah.
Like the other day there was something, and then some other people got involved, and you're like, they kind of argue in proxy for me, even though.
Oh yeah.
Usually that's a bummer because they're not representing my views.
Yeah. But you're getting those notifications for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had to turn them off.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Or sometimes you don't get the notifications because there's bad words, and Twitter doesn't want you to see the bad words anymore.
Twitter did start doing that.
Yeah.
Where I have to go to a different Twitter app.
Yeah, to find the bad words.
Yeah. So anyway, it's...
Oh, wow. I'll have to look into that then, because I don't really care for censored media like
that.
Me
either, man. It is a bummer. I think that they're trying to tweak it now where you can go into your settings and there's something where it says you want to see everything.
Yeah, so would you say you're a Trump supporter?
No.
No. No,
I am not a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. I do have to put that at the beginning of some videos and a lot of conversation I have online. I have to precurse with that. Like, yo, I'm not a Trump supporter, but, you know, and then go into whatever I have to say about it.
Well, what would you say about Trump? I mean, I think that he poses an existential crisis to America. I think that he is, without a doubt, our worst president, the worst pick maybe of this of any American that would be in a position to run for president. He was the worst. What do you think? You think that's hyperbole or what?
No, I would certainly agree to a certain level. Where do you start with the guy? I mean, obviously, truth telling. He doesn't have it, right? We know this. Trump obviously doesn't like to tell the truth. The problem is that, in my opinion, a lot of the problems that Trump has is he'll tweet something stupid and then that's the news. That's the news about what it is. And we've seen, I mean, let me put it this way. If he's such a liar, then what's to believe that everything he tweets is so truthful to have everybody respond with such anger and fervor, you know? And don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes people have to respond, but.
Well, wouldn't you agree that if people stop responding with anger and fervor, that it becomes the new normal, and then it's okay, and then we just move on, and that's the way things are now. And I believe, and we talk about it on the show quite a bit, that you have to keep the defense up and let them know that, no, this is still not okay.
Yeah.
We're in month 8, and it's still not okay. We're not going to settle for this. We deserve better as a country. We've developed from our slave days to now.
Yeah.
And we are striving to be a more perfect union. And this ain't it, brother. You know?
Like I said, that's not something I'm really going to disagree on, because it's obvious. Even it was even obvious month two, the problems that were going to happen. As far as considering him to be an existential crisis. Well, yes, obviously. I mean, he has the power to cause the problems, right? But to say that he's going to, how much of it's Twitter bluster?
Well, no, I don't. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to. Yeah. I say he poses an existential crisis or threat to the United States. Now, every president has the ability to pose an existential crisis, but that's not saying that they are an existential threat.
Yeah,
it's a kinetic thing. It's potential.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can look at a few of the things that he's done. I mean, I suppose to the world in general, the most dangerous thing right now would be the North Korea situation, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
We're going to be all right.
Well, see, and that's the problem, is it's not. I mean, we know that North Korea is trying to upgrade their nuclear program to the point where they're trying to, from what I understand, I guess they're not miniaturized yet, which is a really good thing. And they don't have any way to put it on subs yet, right?
That's right.
As the American or the North American continent, We're okay right now. Just us on this continent. We're okay, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well, maybe at this very second.
Yes.
But in a week, it might not be the case.
That's true.
We do have a missile defense system that I think will keep us, because it's kind of like launching 55, their technology, other than the fact that they've launched a missile 1,700 miles into space. And the International Space Station is only 250 miles in space. That's a long way up there. So they're having reentry issues, and because of their tracking and their mapping systems with their rocketry, it's almost like just catapulting a 55-gallon barrel of shit and just hoping it hits something.
Yeah. I also think when people say we're okay, I have a connection to Korea, and so I always think of South Koreans, and I'm like, but they're not going to be okay.
No.
And so I think even if someone is to make the argument that we're fine for now, it still isn't contained, and there still is a risk that many people are going to die because of North Korea.
Yeah.
And because we don't have a diplomat in office, we have someone who is tweeting Little Rocket Man and escalating tension, which seems to be a problem, even if it is the case that Americans are safe.
Oh, no, I agree with that. And that I tried to be careful when I worded it that way, because we are safe on this continent. But, Guam, the main example that people give, Guam is not safe. South Korea, I mean, they've had artillery pointed at them since, the 60s or whatever, when the war ended.
Right, and are thousands of troops there.
Yes, yes. So Japan, obviously, and this is, that was just so strange when they started launching missiles over Japan. I mean, I was like, okay, well, they're obviously trying to escalate things in their way, too.
It's a fuck you to them. Yes. It's a fuck you to us.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do, big brother?
Yeah.
What are you going to do to your little brother, Japan,
exactly,
who you've occupied since World War II?
Yeah.
South Korea, who you've occupied since the Korean War?
Yeah.
We're the big brother. I mean, we're the big brother for the whole fucking world, apparently.
Yeah.
And sometimes not happily from those nations.
No.
I think for the most part, I think there's a lot of tension in both Japan and North Korea.
Yes.
Or South Korea. There's certainly tension in North Korea.
Yeah.
But overall, I think that the governments are very happy we're there, because the might and the money that we spend on defense means they don't have to spend it on defense.
Yeah.
So it takes the pressure off them from an economic standpoint.
Well, and it's interesting because we have listeners in South Korea, too. Mm-hmm. And we hear from one in particular, Yuri.
Yeah.
And she has said that in recent weeks, she has started to feel nervous, where before in South Korea, they're kind of used to it, you know.
Yeah, we got the crazy asshole north of us. We get it.
Yeah, but that the tone kind of changed.
When Trump got elected.
Particularly when he started saying things like Rocket Man and the fire and the fury, and using this language that is very unbecoming of the office, I think.
Well, it's just not, it's not, it serves no positive end. There's no, if your goal is to de-escalate, which why the fuck wouldn't it be his goal? saying Little Rocket Man, under no logical understanding, is that going to de-escalate the situation. That's only going to make things worse. You're not going to intimidate Kim Jong-un into backing down nuclear proliferation by calling him names.
Of course, of course. But I think I found where we diverge on this
one. All right.
I mean, we all agree that there is definitely a threat. Now you've pointed out that one of your listeners said that the threat on her living in South Korea wasn't, it was always there, but it didn't become escalated until, you know, Trump started talking smack or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that right there is where I will agree with you. Like the Twitter antics, those, I don't want to say the president shouldn't have a Twitter, but the antics have got to stop. I would agree with that.
So where do we disagree though?
That something needs to be done about North Korea.
Something needs to be done about North Korea. We need to stop them from gaining a nuclear capability, a weaponized nuclear capability.
But do we leave that land as a sovereign land as North Korea, though? Or do we actually let South Korea go back in and unite the two continent, but don't let him do it? Because isn't that what they want, North Korea, to unite the two?
Who's they?
Kim Jong-un and his regime.
Yeah, I think that is probably what he wants. But you don't let a brutal, murderous dictator make the choice to assimilate the southern free nation of South Korea into his country. If anything, it's you let the democratic country bring in the oppressed people of North Korea.
That's why South Korea's got it going on foot. They're the ones that would have to put boots on the ground. That's not something we could do.
And that's going to be an impossibility if he gets a nuclear capability.
Yes, you're right.
It's going to be. It's almost impossible now.
Yeah.
It's going to be certainly impossible if he gets that capability. Right now they're talking about, because of Trump's last bullshit move, testing a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific Ocean. What in the fuck is happening?
That's insane. That is
so insanity. I still don't see where we disagree.
Just like I said, it's hard to say, I think Trump ought to do this, because I don't want Trump to do anything. But the U.S., I think that they have to have a part in it. And yes, I do think that we have to move on North Korea soon. Because if Kim Jong-un, if his ultimate goal is to reunite North and South Korea, he's not going to do it democratically. I just don't see how that's going
to
happen.
Right. Well, he doesn't want to do it that way. He wants to be supreme leader over the entire peninsula.
So, like you said, I mean, we kind of agree in the point that we ought to let the democratic leaders of the countries do it. I don't think that's possible. Now, do I think that the U.S. needs to be the one that goes in and starts dropping bombs right away? No, but I think there needs to be a coalition between probably the U.S., South Korea, and I'm sure Japan would probably want to get in on it at this point.
Yeah.
So,
Listen, it's definitely tough. It's not an easy endeavor, because you've got 25 million or however many people live in North Korea who are starving, who are brainwashed so much that they believe the rest of the world is experiencing famine.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as just, send in some superhero Navy SEALs and it's done.
Nope.
It's not going to be like that. There's a terrain issue. All right. We're going to move off North Korea.
Okay.
We're going to move off North Korea. We talk about North Korea a lot.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's transition out of North Korea and into, because I want to touch on things we disagree about. What are your issues with me? What do you disagree with what I do or how I do it? Or let's get into that.
Oh, the fun stuff. Okay.
Listen, we had a guy in here before the election who was a gay, Latino, HIV positive Trump supporter. And it even that was hard to get him to, other than giggle and laugh uncomfortably when I would play Trump clips. But you're smart enough where you can challenge me, and it's hard to get people to come in face to face that will do that. So have at it. Here is your moment, which is also my moment.
Okay. Definitely. First of all, regarding the content of the two videos, I think my facts in those are still pretty much present. The first one, I had an issue with. Specifically, the way you were interpreting the what was it, the original ODNI report. You were talking about Trump and Putin, and it was, I just felt like that was a little bit too, you know, I just, how do I put it? Just too much on the rhetoric side, I think is the best way. And, you know, the hyper-liberal or maybe progressive, the hyper-progressive side. And I, you know, I can't remember it right now, but there was one particular thing and you said that I was like, all right, damn it, making a video. Oh, here we go. I got something to make a video about. And then the most recent one, which is something I still think about this topic all the time. I think we kind of have to, was the Nazi punch heard around the internet.
Oh, yeah.
With Richard Spencer.
That's still a tough issue for me.
And I don't blame you on that. I really don't, because it's really easy to see your side of the point of view, especially.
I've also morphed in my, I'm not shedding any tears over it. And it's something we've labored over and talked about on the show a lot, because a lot of my audience, I think it's probably split pretty evenly.
Yeah, I would say for sure.
The those that agree that, you know, if you see a Nazi, punch a Nazi.
Well, we even got into a tiff on the show.
Yeah, Brittany doesn't. She's more with you. So anyway, I'm an ever evolving in a fluid state about that, because I'm torn between two sides. But go ahead. Sorry, it's my nature to interrupt. So go ahead.
No, that's cool. Well, what's actually interesting about that is after watching the video again today, you know, because I found out one of the best ways to watch my older videos is to put the speed up to 1.5 for anybody that happens to go back into the archives for whatever reason. But yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to stomach the 1.5. but anyways, all jokes aside, well, you know, the main question I still have about Richard Spencer is, we've seen everything that's happened with Charlottesville and whatnot. And the main question I keep having in my head is, how many of those Tiki Torch guys became Tiki Torch guys when they saw Richard Spencer get punched? And
Come on, dude.
I'm serious.
So now, you think also that terrorists get turned into terrorists?
No.
So it's different?
No. I'm saying that to some degree, I think that seeing that act of violence against him, you know, people have what do we call it, innate biases. Mm-hmm. People have their impressions of everybody that they, whether or not they, how do I put this? I'm not saying that everybody is obviously internally racist or anything like that. I don't believe that.
Well, bias and racist are different things.
Exactly. I'm saying that there are people out there that I would imagine probably, you know, were trying to work their way through some of those white nationalist or white supremacist thoughts. And, you know, they saw the violence done against him. And I think that might have pushed some people over. I'm not going to be wrong. I think it's probably stupid people that it pushed over, but I think it was certainly people.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I think it also, because from the beginning, I blamed that guy. The guy that did it, I referred to him as Antifa. He was obviously in Black
Bloc. I think he was an Antifa guy. Yeah. Did you watch my Antifa video?
You know, I don't think I should.
I did a video. I don't expect you to watch every goddamn thing I do. I put out a lot of material.
But I try to watch.
But I did watch. I did do a video on Antifa where I was shitty. I was like, you're not helping. You're not helping anything. And if you're on our side, you're making everyone else's job more difficult.
You know, I that's kind of sounding a little bit familiar. Honestly, like when I see,
now, I think it was called Antifa Friend or Foe or something like that.
If I saw one of your videos with Antifa in the title, I would have clicked on it. So yeah, I'm sure I probably watched it. The problem is I'm subscribed to way too many people right now.
Man.
I need to cut down my subscription list. I'm not seeing half the videos I want to see. Cause I was looking through some of what you had today, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, I don't ever remember seeing this video.
Well, listen, let me say this.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brittany. I know you were getting ready to say something. I wouldn't, there is an argument to be made, I believe, on both sides that is almost equally valid. You saying we shouldn't go around punching Nazis. I agree. God, that is. There are salient logic points in there, but I'm not going to shed a fucking tear if Richard Spencer, who wants to peacefully, ethnically cleanse America, there's no way to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shed a tear when that guy gets fucking clocked. I'm just not.
Yeah, and when you were describing my views, I would say that I'm like that too, but it's like 51-49. Not punching the Nazi.
Yeah.
So I'm like very close.
Yeah.
And could probably be swayed with good evidence.
Well,
I want to say in response though to your point about people seeing him get punched and then being converted into Nazism. That's their hope, actually. If you read the BuzzFeed article with Milo and the
all that email dump they did,
they actually want people to have acts of violence committed against them because they believe that the media will play those images and people will become sympathetic to their cause. Now, just because that's what they want doesn't mean that that's what happens. I don't know if we can draw a causal relationship there. I genuinely don't believe that someone would see Richard Spencer be punched and then say, you know what, I'm going to go buy some khakis, get myself a tiki torch at Home Depot and join that march. If someone did do that, they are already racist. They're not going to be swayed or convinced to become a racist because that happened. They're already racist.
It's the point I was making, ribbing you a little bit, that it's the same thing that like fucking Glenn Greenwald says, that these martyrs and these Muslims, they're turned into jihadists because of the policies of the United States. I don't fucking buy that.
It's not that easy, no.
But that's what you're saying. That is how is it different? That's exactly what you're saying about this young Nazi who, he likes to wear jeans, but after he saw the punch, he had to go buy the khakis.
We're talking about these situations as if they occur in a vacuum. In response to what Glenn Greenwald says, he's not talking about a guy that just happens to walk out of, you know, wherever he lives one day.
Or C.J. Whirlman, the other dick face.
Trying to think of who.
I'm
sure I've come across him reading his tweets somewhere, I'm sure. But my point is that these guys see this. They see the repeat. You know, they see the multiple bombs dropped. Then they have at the same time, they have the, you know, the doctrine put into them. The same thing, I think, to a degree, could be said about these Tiki Torch guys. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't see it happening as, you know, the guy seeing the punch and being like, oh my God.
Well, I'm simplifying it, but ultimately that's what happens, you're saying.
Well, to a degree, but it's more of that. It's that guy going and saying, okay, well, I have some ideas in a comment section. And instead of being, you know, said, hey, okay, well, this is why your ideas are stupid. It's just you stupid Nazi, get the hell out of here. I think you add that on top of it. You add, you know, and now we're seeing that word thrown around for everything.
That's the next point I was going to get to. And I agree with you there.
Yeah. So
I have friends who are white supremacist this, Nazi that. Not everyone is. I do believe guys like Steve Bannon are white supremacists. They are white nationalists. But guys like Ted Cruz, come on, you can't call that guy a fucking Nazi. He's just an idiot.
He's just,
he has bad policy in his head.
Yeah.
He's not a Nazi. He's not a white supremacist. Not actively, anyway. Maybe some of the things that he promotes policy-wise do disenfranchise people of color, but it doesn't mean he's an active white supremacist.
Until BuzzFeed uncovers his passwords, we won't really know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Milo's emails, or they, when they uncovered these emails, they also had his username and passwords, and his passwords, all of, there were like five of them that were related to Nazi insurgent movements, guerrilla movement, like they were Nazi phrases, you know, the numbers 1488 and all the numbers that these assholes use, they were all Nazi related. So it's, he can't just claim that I'm just being a cute little provocateur.
Yeah, he's being a troll to himself every time he logs into his email.
Right.
Yeah, that's passwords are sacred for a reason. And I, ironic passwords get forgotten. You know, I mean, I would forget. I do an ironic password today. I'll forget it tomorrow because.
Well, listen, if I can tell you none of my passwords. Irony. If you're trying to hack into my stuff, everybody, none of my passwords are I hate black people. Okay. Garen fucking T, because that's not in my brain. It's if that's what your focus is of your daily duties on the job, I don't know. You make
the point there is that he types that in multiple times a day. So I mean that's like a self indoctrination. You know, Milo, I used to say that I would have loved to have interviewed that guy, and you know, maybe on some level an interview would be.
You know, he's gonna be here at Fullerton on Halloween.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't want to promote his shit.
No, let's not do that. But
we may go and film protesters.
Yeah.
But I think protesting him and Ann Coulter and these other people is raising their profile.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It lets them be a martyr to say, oh, but all these liberals and these Antifa types, it's the same thing, like you're talking about punching.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it is, and that's the problem. Is
again, I'm talking myself out of my argument because I'm that on the edge of it.
Well, no, but these are all great points, though. I mean,
Thank you, Steven. That's the point. Let's just bask in that moment.
I can repeat it.
Oh, that's nice. The warmth of praise. It's so nice.
The next video about this guy is going to be awesome. All right. Milo is at this point, because I've tried to defend that, even with the pedophilia allegations, I tried really hard to say, look, I mean, he's speaking from the point of view of a victim, but he's condoning it. So, you know, look at it from your point of view, because, I mean, people have points of views in these type of things from the victim or, you know, as the abuser. So that's how you have to see that. But
it's child fucking rape.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
even if you were raped.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't justify what happened to you or other people.
Exactly.
He needed to be dethroned for that bullshit. Yeah. I mean, he needed to be dethroned for other stuff. But anyway, so this is good. This is cathartic. So
we can hurl
some more criticisms at me.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Come on, Steven.
Well, and see, that's the problem is I was listening to a lot of your stuff today and I'm just like, man, I'm not getting the material I need for this podcast. I'm just, well, because there.
Or
well,
is it that just you walk in studio and I'm just a fucking hell of a nice guy.
You're nice and you're big. You're really big.
As fat as my YouTube trolls would believe.
Well,
huh?
No. Apparently this green screen doesn't do you any good in your studio. But no, the thing about it is that, criticisms. Before I started, taking a better, more constructive look into, you know, you guys the last couple of days, the last week or whatever, I was envisioning you as more of a, you know, a news, not outlet, but, you know, news commentator, you know, and I would always get kind of mad at the additional bluster. And, you know, at this point, like, the Donald Trump names. Look, I was tired of names for presidents back when it was Obama. You know, back.
Oh, you don't like that I call him names like dumb guy Donald.
Well, don't get me wrong. Some of them are
or
clever.
Moron because that's what his Secretary of State calls him.
Yeah, that's
probably not going away.
Sometimes though, I mean,
do you get mad when Donald Trump calls people petty names?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, of course.
All right. So
of
just
course.
It's a universal rule for you. You don't like the name calling.
I do try, but then sometimes I slip it to it in my videos. So you know, I'm not perfect.
Well,
I'm
listen,
perfect.
I am. When I get called a journalist, I don't usually respond to YouTube comments, positive or negative.
Yeah.
I'll click the little heart every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I just don't have fucking time. And I don't have a staff. It's a one-man band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So every once in a while, someone will call me like a journalist.
Yeah.
And I buck back at that a lot because I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Yeah.
But I'm also more kind of an activist-leaning commentator.
Yeah.
I'm not just like middle. I'm not like a David Gergen on CNN who's worked for multiple administrations. I got a point of view.
Yeah.
I want to sway people to that point of view. Now, I think I'm honest about the case that I lay out. Like this Whitefish Energy in Whitefish, Montana, getting a $300 million contract, a two-person company in Puerto Rico when 80% of the island is without power. That is a no-bid contract, and then it turns out that the owners of the company happened to give Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, they gave his son a job.
Yeah.
And he happens to be from Whitefish, Montana. They're buddies.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Well, it's picture-perfect crony capitalism.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think I paint a very accurate picture. But I'm not even shy about saying I want to convince you to my point of view.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not a journalist. No way.
And that was actually... Well, when you had invited me to the day you invited me to come on the podcast, that was actually, I think, your first reply, because I had said something about news or journalist or some crap. I don't know. Trolling on Twitter, you lose track after a while.
Well, you only have 140 characters. It's hard.
I'm kind of jealous because I never got trolled, so I don't understand.
It's because you're just perfect, Brittany Page.
Oh, okay.
Everybody loves the Brittany Page, except for, you know, some listeners who are angry.
Yeah.
No, we got
it. I have been called a cuck.
That's right. The chip video.
Oh, man.
Maybe the funniest YouTube comment of all time.
It's the greatest.
Did you see that we did the stupid chip thing? The one chip
challenge thing? No, I didn't. And that was one I forgot about. Yeah.
We did the chip thing and somebody left a comment and said, the only challenge here is watching these three cucks eat chips.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Oh, that is awesome.
I was laughing for so long.
So Brittany loves, it's the first time she's ever been called a cuck.
Yeah, no, that's... it's like, I need to get a plaque. It's an achievement. I should get a badge.
I think so.
Yeah. No. So back to this. So see, we get sidetracked. It's easy. Yeah. So the name Colin used to bother you. It doesn't seem to grate on you as much now.
Not the fact
that you used to think I was a journalist, but now you kind of understand the role. I don't know. Yeah. What
commentator.
What switched? What switched?
Well, just realizing that you're strictly inserting your point of view and your charisma into it. And that's a lot of what that is. And
I mean, charisma sounds too positive, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. That is true. That is what it is. I want my personality to come out.
Yeah. And, you know, from my point of view, I'm someone who's trying to train to be a journalist who on one hand wants to be able to write objectively. On the other hand, I like the opinion side of it. I love having opinions about stuff and sharing them. And I guess I applied those standards unfairly to you as far as that's concerned. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, one of these days, a Jesse Dalimore video is going to pop up and, oh, the Orange Fuhrer, you know.
Yeah, Orange Face Fuhrer. That was a good one.
That's the one, yeah.
Some of those I was really hoping would catch on.
I'm sure to some degree they will. They will, at least in this brain. So,
well, listen, there's a lot of that was obvious hyperbole, but there was all kinds of stories that his ex-wife said that he had Hitler's speeches that he would read years ago that was said, not like when the Russia stuff started or when the Hitler stuff started. Yeah. This is from years ago. That shit is, if you are someone who enjoys and appreciates the civil liberties protected by, not granted by the Constitution, but protected by our Constitution, then that should send chills down your spine.
Oh, yeah.
That we have a man who wants to shut down the media and violate their free speech rights and has no understanding or respect for our most sacred civil rights.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I've had those chills going down my spine since we've started seeing legislation getting put in place after
Patriot.
Terrible. That's the one. I mean, search and seizure is pretty much gone by the wayside at this point. I remember I was
civil forfeitures.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So I mean, these are problems that we already had under now. Granted, Trump has presented himself as more of a threat to the press, at least vocally. Obama wasn't perfect as far as the press was concerned.
By the way, I don't know if you know this. Yeah. I didn't vote for Obama either time.
I did the second time. I was dumb.
No, I didn't vote for Obama because I was still, I still romanticize libertarianism.
Yeah, yeah.
Not big L, but little L.
Yeah.
And I couldn't vote for Mitt Romney, but I did vote for McCain, and I did vote for George W. Bush twice. Huh. I only just switched to be a Democrat officially the day after the election on Wednesday.
Oh.
And the reason, because before that it was no party preference.
Yeah.
And the reason is, and the audience has heard it, but you haven't.
Yeah.
Is that in times like this, when there is a threat like this to what I believe is our freedom and our country and our democracy, the way things we do things, the things we hold sacred, now is the time to take sides.
Yeah.
Now is the time to show your resolve and be a point of opposition to Donald Trump. So much so that he is now abridging my free speech by blocking me on Twitter.
I'm glad we got there.
Uh-oh.
That actually brings up an interesting point, because that was the last thing I got on you about on Twitter was that something about that, and the reason why is because I just read an article about a lot of, and I couldn't name a single one of them right now asked me, but progressive journalists and left-leaning journalists, that a lot of their popularity was gained just by being one of the first couple people that responded to Donald Trump tweets, and we're talking people that would just F5 all day long. Trump would tweet, and then
what is that?
Oh, F5. a refresh.
Oh, refresh
the page. Okay. And then
that's
Donald,
that computer nerd.
Yeah,
in you.
Yeah. There it is.
I need to learn F5. Is what you're saying? So go ahead. Sorry.
But
I'm looking for that button on my laptop. I don't think I have it.
I think at this point, no, I don't think I could hit it without looking. So. Not that far into the nerd space, but no, they basically were increasing their brand simply by trying to be the most inflammatory tweet to hit back at Trump. And this, and it was seeing journalists do this. And,
yeah, and I'm sure guilty of that, but I don't, I'm not making apologies for that.
And you don't have to, because I mean, you've distinguished yourself from those journalists. You said you're an opinion guy. That's what you want to do. And once I realized that, I was like, okay, like honestly, half the stuff I get on Jesse about, like I really kind of need to stop about, because this isn't what he represents. He's not just a straight journalist. He's out there spreading his opinion, his feelings, his activism.
Absolutely.
So, you know, once I got that squared around to that, which was, you know, a couple days ago, to be honest.
Right now, you know, you're realizing while you're talking.
It's only been with the last 5 or 6 minutes. I'm coming around to it.
Since you guys started glaring at me in the last 5 minutes, I came around.
So
you're saying I can let you out of the headlock right now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
No, I've been
My
able
arm's
to breathe.
Getting sore.
Good. I've been able to breathe fine, but I might get a bruise later. So,
well, listen, even if I am abusive to him.
Oh, please. Abusive.
Even if I am.
Yeah, but he's the president.
He's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's this whole thing of we shouldn't react with anger. You know, we should be more even keel in response to him.
Yeah.
Barack Obama was treated with so much vitriol, and he was a normal person. So
I think a decent man.
And I would just say a normal person who behaved in a way that you would expect a human being to behave in communications with other adults.
And behaved the way you would expect a president of the United States to behave.
Yeah,
with
I mean,
decorum. And when, keep his head down. Ignore those trolls.
When you have Donald Trump, little Bob Corker, and
wacky
Lion
what's
Ted,
her name, Wilson.
You know, Crooked Hillary. He's still tweeting Crooked Hillary. It's just this isn't what we should expect.
Crying Chuck Schumer.
From someone that's in this. Yeah, crying Chuck. He's talking about people's height. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like a 70-year-old man.
So, well, I mean, so we've got the, well, to be fair, we've got the two wrongs make a right argument there, which is
No. It's not a two wrongs make a right.
I think, well, I mean.
Steven.
Response, though.
I'm a dude in a home studio with a microphone.
Yeah.
He has his finger on the fucking nuclear codes. It's different.
It's a slight power imbalance.
It's not just, oh, well, he's the president. He also has the freedom of speech. Wait, where is it?
How did you nail that twang so good?
He got freedom of speech too, y'all.
It's well practiced.
It's Donald Trump. Yeehaw! Oh.
That is a live whistle.
Yeah.
You heard this guy.
Yeah. This guy is not the spokesman for Donald Trump.
Okay, so I guess.
Trump, baby! We got some Hillary bitches on here!
Steven's like, how many more do you have?
I got a million of them, Steven.
No, that's fine. I'm actually learning part of the craft.
So it is different. He lives in a different stratosphere than any other human on the planet. He is an island unto himself.
So you're saying that as soon as he took the oath, he gave up his rights as an average citizen.
No, he hasn't. What right has he given up?
Well, that's my point.
He now still runs. He is a maybe the most pivotal point in our government in an active position to usurp my rights, my First Amendment rights under the Constitution.
But he can't tweet what he wants, though.
Free speech.
He can't tweet what he wants.
Yes, he can. But he's also taking away my ability to redress the government with grievances. There's a case against him right now from Columbia University and the White Foundation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be enjoined into that lawsuit
because
it's the same thing that happened the other day.
Yeah.
I put a very, very respectful comment on Dana Rohrabacher's Facebook page.
I'm not sure who that is.
He's my congressman.
Oh, okay.
He's Putin's best friend in the Congress. Very problematic. I've done a video. Go check it out. And he hid my comment, which means only my friends can see it. No one else, no other constituent could see the grievance that I have against this guy. That's a problem.
Well, even separate from that, the issue, what you said, that he's not able to tweet what he wants. It's kind of like saying, like, if someone is to troll Jesse, that he can't tweet what he wants because he's being trolled. No, Jesse can say whatever he wants on Twitter. He's not immune from the criticism.
Yeah.
And same with Donald Trump. Whatever he decides to say, he's not immune from the backlash. He's not immune from the criticism. No one is taking away his phone. No one is going into the White House and punching him in the face. He is still able to tweet whatever he wants. Will someone call him an idiot? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, will someone call him a moron? Will someone tell him to shut the fuck up? Yeah, those things will all happen.
Or call him an orange face Fuhrer.
But that doesn't.
Very likely.
That's not interfering with his right to speak.
Yeah. Well,
also, let me say this. Sorry.
Okay.
Is someone after this happened, because it was a big deal that day when the president of the United States blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, aren't you the guy who blocks everybody who says shit to him? And I immediately went in. You could on Twitter, you can show how many people you have blocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero. I've never blocked. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had never blocked someone on Twitter. And tell me, I mean, I don't get as much shit as Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, well, the one distinction I did make is as far as talking shit to Donald Trump, it's not the talking shit aspect that I have a problem with. It's the people that were immediately trying to use that by retweeting him or responding to him as quickly as possible to just promote their brand.
Okay, but does that justify him blocking them?
No, no. But I think he has a right to.
You do think he has a right to.
Well, everyone has a right. That's how Twitter is designed. Twitter is designed to have that block button, and so you can stop people from tweeting at you that are...
For sure. However, we have laws and regulations in place relative to what the behavior of government officials. Now, his legal argument is, this is my personal Twitter account.
Yeah.
Legal experts, many people are saying, believe me, but a lot of people are saying, that are legal experts are saying, that's not going to hold up in court because he announces policy.
Yeah.
He runs that like it's the official presidential account. He's likely going to have to fucking unblock all those people. And that's going to be a good day.
I'll give you that.
For Jesse
I'll
D. Because it makes my Trump trolling kind of hard when I have to go over to my other at Jesse Dollimore account, which no one follows because no one cares.
Well, I was going to say, that's what's got me kind of bummed out, because I definitely see less of your tweets now. And I was like, I bet you he's over on that other account. I was like, I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to go follow him on there. Because I have to switch over. And
oh, yeah.
Then I have to, what I do is I screenshot and then share the screen. I have to do what Keith Olbermann does.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Who also had me blocked like 5 months ago, and I had to reach out to some people and they got to him and he unblocked me.
Huh.
Why would Keith? Oh, maybe I was a crazy conservative guy to him or something.
It could have been a block bot too. I
mean, is a thing, isn't
it? Yeah, they have. Well,
Who's the kid that played the Crusher kid on Star Trek?
Is it
Josh Whedon?
No, oh crap!
Will Wheaton.
Yeah,
he's a guy. Will Wheaton. Yeah. He's a guy who had one of the block.
Yeah.
He created a giant list, and one of our buddies, Jeremy Holmes from Nerd Out Loud podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was on that list, and he got blocked by a randoms he doesn't know because they follow that or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I did want to bring up a small point just because it is kind of a...
We've beat this dead horse, so go ahead.
Well, no, just something as far as the being blocked by an official on a social media. I've actually experienced that, not Donald Trump on Twitter. That is something... I don't know if I would put it in my bio, but I do respect that you do.
It's my bio. It bothers me.
It's in everybody's bio that's been blocked by Donald Trump, to be fair. But no, I actually had the mayor of Long Beach blocked me on his Facebook page. For a little while. Now it's set up to where I don't think I can comment on anything he posts.
Was it his personal Facebook page the government's?
Actually, it might have been his personal page. Okay. I'm not sure, but he announced policy on it. And what it was something he was pushing. It was a tax increase for it was a sales tax increase in Long Beach. And he was not being honest about it. And he got to the point where I was literally going into the bill itself and copying and pasting what it said into his comment section and trying to tell people.
Text from his own bill.
No. Well, I don't know. I don't know what was going on with him. I know a couple times he had... there was one time I asked him a question and Daniel Bresnahan responded to me. Now, you probably don't recognize that name, mm-mm. But he is the guy that did the Electoral College petition that got real big. He's a guy out of Long Beach. He used to work for the mayor of Long Beach. He doesn't now because he had to resign that position to do the petition. But yeah, I've actually spoken to him a couple times online. I do like reminding him that he's the guy that started that petition and wasted a lot of time. But I'm sure we'll have a we'll have a disagreement there. But yeah, so the point was I was kind of pushing the mayor a little bit, like, yo, you got to tell people the truth about this. Like, this is money that's going straight into the city fund. You can't tell people that it's going to certain places. Like, you guys are going to be able to spend it on whatever you want.
Right.
So, you know, and finally I looked one day and I didn't have access to his page anymore.
There are somehow you can do it where you can restrict what people do on your page.
Yeah. Oh, he recognized me at a public event too, I'm pretty sure, because this was right around the time that he blocked me. He did a neighborhood thing near my neighborhood in Long Beach, and I went to it. And it was basically him and the police officers, and they were pushing a different bill. Well, no, they were pushing that bill and not talking about the one I wanted them to push. And that was, how did it go? The police officers basically came, and they were talking about all the crime that this particular neighborhood in Long Beach had to deal with. Well, it's one of the most wealthy neighborhoods in Long Beach. Like, I'm lucky I got a studio in a nice neighborhood, it's still a studio. But the neighborhood's great. And these police officers are talking about, you have to deal with car break-ins and vagrancy and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, well, these aren't very big problems. I mean, they're problems, but they're, you know, other parts of Long Beach have way, way bigger problems. And then they opened up a Q&A. And I waited for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because I wanted other people to ask their questions first, because I was going to go direct at him. Like, why aren't you talking about this? And finally, I stuck up my hand. And he looked at me at first, and then he looked, and then he looked, and the eyes squinted a little bit. And I was like, okay. And I didn't get called on.
Right.
It was just like, I got a glass of wine, and I left at the end. So it was.
It free?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
The wine.
There you go.
They were catered by the attic that day. It was so awesome.
It is good that you're active.
Yeah.
That you're active.
I try to be. Now they've got me actually working on Tuesday nights, so I can't... I really wanted to be more active going to, like, city council meetings and stuff. Because I would be that guy. Every week, if I had something I disagree with, I'd be like, okay, open mic time. Get me up there. You know, I don't like this, but...
Well, this is good. Let's wrap here.
Okay.
Let me say this. I want to say it to everybody. This is the kind of dialogue that should be had with people who disagree. Now, Stephen Matthews is not an unreasonable man. I wouldn't have some insane fucking troll come in here and try to hash things out. It's a guy who thinks, is logical, I believe, employs critical thinking skills. I would encourage everybody to go subscribe to his YouTube channel, challenge him when you think he's wrong, which is a lot. Maybe I should start doing that more often.
Definitely.
And follow him on Twitter. Again, those addresses are at SMatthewsTFI. That's at SMatthewsTangoFoxtrotIndia. You like that, Brittany?
I do.
And then YouTube.com/StephenMatthewsTFI. That will be in the show notes. Stephen, we appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug before we shut down the show?
At this point, I don't have anything else going except for that YouTube channel, and apparently I have to tweet more often now, so I'll probably do that. But no, it's been a pleasure being here with you two, Jesse and Brittany. It's, so awesome. Like, yeah, a conversation like this definitely needs to happen because this is how we get to change or maintain what we have. So
I agree 100%. All right. Well, with that, we're going to leave you guys. We love you. We appreciate you. If you have questions for young Stephen Matthews, you're not all that young. You are Stephen Matthews.
Yes. We'll say mid-30s. Mid-30s. There is a little bit of gray there.
If you have questions for mid-30s Stephen Matthews, he does live nearby. Maybe we could schedule another time for him to come in. 657-464-7609. Of course, you can always email a voice memo from your smartphone to idoubtit@dollamore.com. We love you guys. We appreciate you. As always, we say this every time, we are listener-supported, listener-produced show, and we appreciate every little bit of loyalty and contribution you send our way through Patreon or PayPal or even buying shit on Amazon because it is the holiday season. If you're a gift giver and you're a gift buyer, and if you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, if you're going to spend your money on Amazon anyway, go to dollamore.com/Amazon. It'll lead you straight through to the promised land, everybody. Good times. Until next time, for Brittany Page, Stephen Matthews, mid-30s Stephen Matthews, I am Jesse Dollamore, and this has been I Doubt It.